Hello, everyone. Welcome to Making the Biblical Text Meaningful to Life, a platform on which difficult biblical texts are discussed. Hey, if you have any specific text in the Bible that you do not understand and you want to understand what it means, send us an email. We are going to research it and teach it right here on this platform. This is our calling. And we are glad to be here today and pray that the Holy Spirit will just bless what we do. Hey, Rob, are you there?
I am.
All right. Can you please lead us in prayer?
Absolutely. Our Heavenly and Gracious Father, we give you thanks for this wonderful day that you've blessed us with. Lord, thank you for this time to study your word, and for you to teach us, Father, to show us the things that we need to focus on in our lives and to be refined by the working of your Holy Spirit acting through in and through us and upon our lives, Father. Continue to draw us closer to you and make us more like Christ, Father. I thank you so much for the things that you have showed us and for teaching us in your truth, Father, for there is no other word by which we are saved. Father, I just ask that you bless this time and bless those that are here and listening to your word. Father, just keep any distractions, anything that may hinder our attention tonight, just to bind them and keep them out of our presence so that we can solely focus on you and the message that you have for us, Father. Lord, I also ask that as you work through us, let us speak only your truth, Father. There are so many cultural misconceptions as we're learning, and even incorrect beliefs that we've been taught over the years, and that is the purpose of this study, Father, is to root those things out and to focus on your truth, Father. So again, I give you thanks for your working in our lives, for loving us, and we just give the honor and the glory back to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rob. Thank you for praying. Okay, pick up your Bible and let us look at Genesis chapter 24. We will continue our study with Isaac wedding, but I want to read from Genesis chapter 24, beginning at verse 19. 24:19. Please pick it up and let me just read that. And I'm reading from the NIV version of the Bible. After she had given him a drink, she said, "I draw water for your camels too, until they have finished drinking." So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough, ran back to the well to draw more water, and drew enough for all the camels. Without saying a word, the man watched her closely to learn whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took out a gold nose ring weighing a becker and two gold bracelets weighing 10 shekels. Then he asked, "Whose daughter are you? Please tell me, is there room in your father's house for us to spend the night?" She answered him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son that Milcah bore to Nahor." And she added, "We have plenty of straw and fodder, as well as room for you to spend the night." Then the man bowed down and worshiped the Lord, saying, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not abandoned his kindness and faithfulness to my master. And for me, the Lord has led me on a journey to the house of my master's relatives. Last week, we discussed the wedding of this young man, Isaac, and that was great time of discussion. All right, great time of discussion. But here, what are we going to do tonight? The key thing that we studied in the wedding of Isaac, pay keen attention. If you have not gone through the video for last week, please do, because it will give you the right connection to where we are starting today. Abraham was very old and planned to get a wife for his son. That was the plan. Now, one of the things that Abraham was really thinking about is he never wanted his son to marry any of the women that were in Canaan. He said, well, he called his servants, Eliezer, and told him that I want you to take this mission to go to my father's house and get a wife for my son. Do not take a wife from any of the women in this land. Abraham had a specific reason of doing that. I don't know, but he knew exactly what he was doing. So the mission was entrusted with Eliezer. At the time, Abraham was very old. He could not travel a distance, but he wanted to make sure that his son get a wife before going to be with the Lord. So as we learned last week, Eliezer was a little bit concerned. He said, Master, what if I went in that household and the young woman does not want to come? Can I take your son there? Abraham said, no, do not take my son back in that place. But the God that I serve will open it, will be before you, and you're going to bring a wife from my household in Haran for my son Isaac. And last week, as we studied, exactly the hand of God was upon this identical servant who went to get a wife for Isaac. God worked miracle. Now, this week, here are the specific things that we are going to study. And I want to bring that quickly. The specific things that we studied this week that you will know is that you will understand and believe that the food for thought that we'll be going through right now that clarifies some major issues in this study. Now, when we get to the food for thought, listen carefully, because they pointed at some specific things in this study. The continuity of Satan's attack on Abraham regarding the promised seed was repeated in the life of Isaac with his two sons, Jacob and Esau. We're going to study that. The same thing that happened to Abraham was repeated with his son Isaac. That's the point that I'm trying to make here. That though Jacob was the lion of Christ, but equally so, Esau was blessed, as in the case of Ishmael and Isaac. Now, when we look at the life of Abraham, Ishmael was the firstborn, but the line of Christ is Isaac. God blessed both of them. Don't forget that God is a good God. He blessed both of them. But yet, the line of Christ is through Isaac. That just as Abraham and Sarah were tried, attentive with this. Just as Abraham and Sarah were tried in regard to the promised seed, even so, Isaac and Rebekah, they went through the same trial. The enemy wanted to stop or to prevent the birth of Jesus Christ. That was the work of the enemy. Now, these are the major things that we're going to study tonight. All right? And I appeal to you to go back to part one of this study so that you will know exactly, because there are a lot of good things we studied in part one, and we hope to finish up tonight. Let's continue our study with here where we left out. Now, the place that we're going to pick up is note the following. There were certain things that you're supposed to have noted. We will do that, and we'll come to the food for thought, and then we get to the main part of what we are studying tonight. Now, and when I said note the following, we didn't finish. It was from part one to part nine, but we did to seven. So that all of this will reflect all that we've been doing with the previous study. All right. The first wedding. Now, note these things carefully. If you look at video one, video two, and three, you will get this. All right. The first wedding recorded in the Bible was initiated by God, who arranged everything. God arranged everything and brought Adam's wife, Eve, during the pre-fall state. Now, after and during the fall, we have no record biblically how the weddings were performed. No record. And the names of the women that were married, we have no names. The only thing we knew, the only thing we realized, right, the women got married, the men got married, but no name. However, the first recorded name of a wife after the fall is Sarah. That's making great. Now we got a name of a wife. The first name we got was Eve. From Eve, then we got Isaac. All right. I mean, when we came to Abraham, we see Sarah. Now we got to Isaac, we see the name. That's a very great thing. In time past, there was no name, it was just a wife. And we had to speculate who that wife was, where she came from, what was happening at the time. We don't know. But this is a great thing. I want you to note. Go back and study it and look at part one of Isaac, okay? Whether a bride price was paid or not, we do not know. Now, when you see that carefully, all that you will find there is that when the servant got in the home, he gave gifts to Rebecca's mom, and Rebecca's brother, Laban, only gave gifts, but nothing mentioned there for the father. And the Hebrew word used for bride price was not used in that context. So this is where we cannot conclude that there was the bride price. No, it was a gift given to some members of the family, to the bride, to the girl herself, to the brother, and to the mom. But that Hebrew word was not used. Mohar, it was not used at all. So you cannot conclude that that the dowry was paid for Rebecca. So the good thing here is that we can conclude and we can see, looking at what happened with Adam and Eve. Now, look carefully. Adam had nothing to do with the whole thing. God, the Father, did everything for Adam, put him to sleep, got his rib, got a wife from there, and said, hey, this is your beautiful wife. And Adam just embraced her and said, oh, this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. In the same case, Isaac, I don't know how you're going to feel today, young man, that unknown to you, your father would just make an arrangement and bring a beautiful wife and say, this is your wife. I don't know. Maybe you were upset, but I think in our culture nowadays, we don't even want our parents to be part of what we do. Hey, I want to go out there and find a wife for myself. I don't want my parents' involvement into the whole situation. But in this case, Abraham arranged. So we can conclude that this kind of arrangement had a long history within the family line. Because Abraham may have learned this from his father, Terah. And Terah may have learned this from his father, from his great-grandfather. This is how we can think about it. All right. Now, we come to food for thought. And I want us to listen very carefully. Now, with Isaac, we have a detailed record of how he acquired his wife. All the one in the past, Abraham, Isaac, no detailed records of how they got married. But we have it in the life of Isaac, and we studied that last week. Now, according to Genesis 24, 1 and following, Isaac, like Adam, did not initiate it. His father made the arrangements and brought beautiful Rebekah to Isaac, who joyfully accepted his wife. I hope we could do that today, but not in our culture, you know. I know maybe some people still doing it. And other cultures around the world, they allow it's an arranged marriage, and the parents are wholly involved into the system. But in most countries, you can't find that. The young man had to go find his own wife, and the girl, we had to find her own husband. And so that's the problem we have today. But that was the case in the life of Isaac. He had nothing to do with the whole thing. The father did everything. Does the account of Isaac's wedding suggest that Adam gave Cain a wife as well as Seth? Can we conclude that marriages at the time were arranged by the father and the son has no input? Well, that's food for thought. You answer that question for yourself. I don't know the answer. The only thing is only you can work it out and see whether this is correct. But we need to think about it. We've seen that in the life of us. Before Abraham died, he made sure that he was able to arrange for his son's wife. So that is that we think it's in the family line. So that was the case. All right. Abraham may have learned this from his parents, from his father Terah, you know, and this was a plan that went from time to time. So now this is food for thought, okay? The fact there is Abraham, in this case, made an arrangement for who? For his sons. We don't know how it was done with Cain, how it was done with Seth, how it was done with Noah. We don't know. Let's go back to the videos. There was no details, but here we have our details. And this is why we're trying to see exactly and have food for thoughts around this. What do you think are the possibilities? This is the question here. And that's what that we need to pray and see. Okay. Were they imitating God who gave them? Now, were they imitating God who gave Adam his wife? And maybe Adam gave a wife to Cain and Seth and so on. Do you think that was the case? Was that the acceptable norm? I don't know. This is food for thought. I want you to think about it. But here, Rob, you say you have something to share here. You have a note here. Are you there?
I am.
All right. Now we're here. You say you have a note here.
Yeah, I just want to draw out a couple more thoughts.
All right.
As we go back and reflect on the first marriage, Genesis chapter 2 paints us a picture of the first marriage, a biblical marriage, an arranged marriage. Mm-hmm. In this, we see that God the Father cares for Adam, his creation, and he saw that man needed a helpmate.
Uh-huh.
Adam rested, and God took one of Adam's ribs while he rested, one of the ribs from his side, or the curved part of Adam, as the Hebrew word indicates.
Right.
And I believe this is significant. It reveals their connection with each other, and also provides an illustration for the bride of Christ as well. We are called to Christ's side.
Uh-huh.
Just as God took from Adam's side and brought Eve to him to be by his side, a helpmate. We see God's hand in the marriage. And something else I think is important that in society today we may have forgotten.
Yeah.
And that is, when God performed this act, it was a one-time act, meaning it was meant for life, taking from Adam a part of him so that they were united for life. Genesis 2:24 says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So I think it's safe to say that if God's hand is in our marriage, we shall be united for life. But if we yield to culture, we then invite in all of the elements of society. We tend to focus on the gift rather than the giver. And we make the gift an idol. We need to tear down these idols, not make it an idol, but put it in its proper space, proper place. So just something to think about as we delve further into this into the scripture and into the study.
Good. Thank you. Man, you nailed it. See, now, God gave Adam a beautiful wife, Eve. Here, Adam gave his son, Isaac, a great gift, Rebecca. Do you think a man's wife is a gift from God? And that was the thing I sent out on my Facebook today. Do you think? Well, it's a food for thought. You can say, yeah, man, it's a gift for God, but what part do you play in that gift? You don't play a part in that. It's somebody just come and give it to you. So, you know, you need to think about it. You need to think why, whether it's a gift or whether you have to work for it or whether it's something that you got to run around and do all that you had to do before you get it. So you need to think about that. Food for thought. Okay.
I have proof that that my wife is a gift from God.
Good.
You want to know what that proof is?
I want to know that proof. I want to listen to it.
So my wife's name is Arlene. You know what that means?
No.
Her name means a gift.
Oh. Wow.
So confirmation.
So she really a gift? The name reflects
it
who?
Yes, yeah.
Hey, Rob, wow. So you have, yeah, I agree with you. Oh, yeah. Okay.
So I just want to reiterate, you know, it is important that we listen to God and that we seek his will in our lives. You know, just like he brought my wife to me, we need to make sure that our marriage is started out on the proper footing.
Right.
You know, seeking him, yielding to him, and living under his providence.
Right. Thank you. Well, I mean, you give a real proof. The name alone. You got a gift in your house. Good. All right. Now, Isaac's wedding was blessed with two children. One thing when people get married, the first thing that they will be looking up to, hey, do you have a child? Okay. And so in the case of Isaac, Abraham had died and was buried. Isaac inherited everything from his father, including God's promise to make his descendants into a great nation. When we stated that when Abraham was old, he gave gifts to all his other children to leave Isaac. So Abraham knew who Isaac was, and the other children that he had by Keturah, and that's been a major theological argument when we're studying Abraham. I don't want to go back there. The only thing you need to do, go back to that video, you will find that out. So Abraham gave them gifts, and they all left his son Isaac. The promised child was now in full control. Now, the next thing was he wanted to have children. All right? Good. Like his father, Isaac's wife Rebecca was barren. Wow, the same thing that happened to his father is being repeated in the life of his son. So what did he do when you read Genesis 25? When you read that, he's 25, 21. what he did, that he prayed to God. God, I want you to bless my wife. I want you to bless my wife with a child. Now, when you read Genesis 25, 19 to 23, Rebecca was barren for 20 years. Wow. Now imagine you marrying to a beautiful woman. And most men expect the very first year, that's the expectation of most men, all right, to have a child, either a boy or a girl. But imagine 20 years, Isaac lived with his wife happily, but the trouble they had was what? She was barren. The same way in the life of his father, when Sarah was also barren, and then in their old age, Sarah said to Abraham, "Hey, I'm old, you are old, take my maidservant, so that whatever child you will have will be the son that God promised us." So they're trying to help God. We all do that at times. We want to help God in many things. But anyway, we talk about that. Go back and listen to the video. But this is a problem. Just as Abraham was tried with the seed, his son also was a type. Satan tried to prevent the birth of the Messiah in many ways, and it started in the Old Testament. It started way back there. I said, prayed. You know one thing? Prayer moves mountains and changes things. So whatever you have, whatever problem, whatever you want done, all you need to do is pray. God is going to answer your prayer. Isaac was really, he prayed and God answered his prayer. Rebecca conceived. Now, let's listen carefully. Here, Isaac had prayed, and man, God opened the door, and what do we see there? Rebecca now was pregnant. Imagine how Isaac felt. For 21 years, you've been looking at your wife, and she can't have a child, and you've been fasting and praying, and to find out, you say, I'm not feeling good today. It seems that I'm pregnant. The joy alone in the heart of Isaac. See. But when the woman was pregnant, there was an issue. The issue was there were a lot of struggles within her. There were a lot of problems that she was going through, the struggling of these two children in her stomach. And so she had to go to inquire of the Lord. And when she went and prayed and inquired of the Lord, here are the things that God revealed to her. Listen carefully. Two nations are in your womb, and these twins will father two diverse nations. Let me say that again. Twins are in your womb, and these twins will father two diverse nations. Mark that down somewhere. The struggle is between the twins, and it will be continuing in their posterities. Now, what the message to her was, hey, the trouble that started in your stomach, the trouble is between the two children you have. They will have two different backgrounds, but their trouble will continue from time to time. When we get to that study, we will see. They continue with it. We will see that. The younger twin and his people will be stronger than the older twin and his people. I don't know. The woman was, the younger will be more stronger than the older. The last thing, which is the fourth thing that God revealed to her, and I want us to look at this very carefully, is this. The younger twin and his people will rule over the older twin and his people. Yeah. So now here is the message. The woman is pregnant. There were a lot of complications, a lot of things going on, and she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, yeah, what is happening to you? You are going to deliver safely, but the fight will continue between these two children and their descendants. The younger will be greater than the older. So this is a real complicated issue. Here we have a clear example of God's sovereignty. Election. Based not upon human merit, not upon divine presence, but upon divine sovereignty. God is God. This is what God Almighty did. And I had a lecture, I think about 2 or 3 months I did that, on this. And that was based upon this text. And that was a series of lectures I had sometime ago to prove that God's sovereignty is not partiality. God's sovereignty is not partiality. To prove that, and I was on that for, I think, about 3 or 4 months. I have all the lectures somewhere. Anyway, but this is what God is doing. God said, this is what I'm going to do. That's what God did. Now, Isaac was 60 years old, and Abraham was 160 years old when Jacob and Esau were born. I don't know if you were to see Isaac that time when the two children came forth. Oh man, I know he was kind of happy. Yeah, I know he was kind of happy. All right. Now during the when the children was about to be delivered, something happened. The struggle in the womb, it also continued with coming outside. Jacob took hold of Esau's heel. He said, you can't go first. Struck him to be born first. I will be the first one to be the first child. That's another teaching about the first child. That's a complete another teaching that we can't bring in this one. That way we digress from what we are following. Okay. Now, might possess the rights of firstborn male child. So he's grabbed his brother heel. Look, can you imagine? You're not going to go. But however, the firstborn was born covered with red hair. So he was called Esau. Now Esau means red. The other thing lay hold of his brother's heel. So he was called Jacob, supplanter. He was a tricker. You can't go. I will take it. So, you know, one thing I like about this when I was doing the other lecture long ago, I'm excited when I come to this place here. We see God is playing out something here beyond our understanding. Wherever you are listening to me or those who are live with me today, we cannot understand some things God does. But however, he is great. He's God Almighty. We can and question him anything. All right. God pronounced. God blessed Jacob and Esau despite the birthright episode. They were born. God pronounced that Jacob and Esau were two nations. God said that. The sign of disunity began in the womb. Rebecca's prayer is answered. Two nations are in your womb. No prayer answered. The younger will be stronger than the older. That prayer was answered. Here we come with a good story, which is biblical. Esau sold his birthright for food. Is it really true? Is there a way God playing out his word in the beginning that what he have said will come to reality? We do not know. But you see in the Gaza, this is what's going to happen. So Esau here, he was hungry and he wanted to get food to eat. His brother said, the only way I will give you this potato that I got here, except you tell me that I am the firstborn. The thing he wanted to do, even coming out of the womb, he grabbed his brother. He said, no, I want to go first. And his brother pushed him back. He said, come on, get out of here. And got there. And then he said, now you're hungry. If you tell me that I'm the oldest in the family, I gave you my food. And Esau agreed to that. Rebekah encouraged Jacob. These are the problem there. Rebekah encouraged Jacob to impersonate Esau for his father's blessing. We know that story, but I'm bringing these things out for you to think about them. Isaac was deceived, and he blessed Jacob instead of Esau. Isaac, the man of God, was deceived. He blessed Jacob. Jacob, you will be blessed. Esau, you will just, you gotta live with on your hand. But the blessing has already gone to your brother. Now, this is a major debate on this this. I'm bringing these out because I want us to think about them. Did Esau lost the blessing because he sold his birthright to Jacob? Now, if you were listening, note that down. You can ask the question later on, or you can just go right down there and we have a chat there. You can ask your question, but when we come to questioning, we'll listen to you. Is that it? Was Rebekah actually right in the sight of God when he told his son, look, go and get something, kill it, and let me prepare it so that you will go and I'll put miskin on you so you will go and deceive your father to bless you. Was Rebekah right in doing that? Why couldn't Isaac reverse his blessing to Jacob after he realized the deception? Why he couldn't do that? He realized that he was deceived. But then here is the man who realized he had been deceived and he could not reverse it. What is that? Why he could not do it? Are all these part now? Listen to this lie issues. All right. Are all these part of God's plan for his election of Jacob? Are all these God's plan for his election of Jacob? I want you to think about that. All right. And it's something, and there are many, many, many views to this. Many, many views. Some people say, it was deception, and it was this, and it was that. But most people say that was not real deception because this God has said it, and all these things were playing out in God's will. Some of them gave an example this young man, Joseph. All right, Joseph, who God has spoken, revealed dream to him why he would have become, but I had people sold him. He was in slavery for so many years, and then his dream came to reality. People argue from that perspective. But please listen carefully. Are all these part of God's plan for his election of Jacob? Now, here, Jacob and Esau became two nations. Now, the prophecy came about. God spoke to the woman, and then when the two children were born, God blessed them. This is what I want you to know. God blessed Esau and Jacob. Now let's pick up Jacob first. Jacob's key blessing was to be the father, the family line of Jesus Christ, who will sit on David's throne forever. That was the key blessing of Jacob, the family line of Jesus Christ. It was not based on merit. Now, don't think that God raised up Jacob because Jacob was doing something good. This is just part of God's plan. Sometimes we think, oh, Jacob was a little boy. He was home and it looked like he was praying every day. No, that's not true. But this is what God wanted to accomplish. It was not on any merit. Jacob was also a sinner. Jacob committed a lot of sins. And in fact, next week we'll study about him. Then you will know you will know the real grace of God in the life of that young man. You will see all that he did. Jacob had two wives and two concubines. He loved one of his wives and hated the other. So how can you say he was God raised him up because he was not perfect, but God is working out his own plan through the human race. That's what God is doing here. All right. His descendants they went into exile. They sinned. God punished them. They repented, and God restored them. So we cannot say that Jacob was blessed because he was holy man. No, it is just the grace of God and God working out things for his own glory. This is the point that I want you to get here. Now we come to Esau. Esau was blessed and became Edom. In fact, Esau, when you read Genesis 36:7, says that Jacob and Esau were divided due to their large possessions. When you read that, Jacob and Esau were divided based upon what? Their what? Large possessions. You read it right here. All right? Their possessions were too great for them to remain together. The land where they are staying could not support them both because of their livestock. So Esau, that is Edom, settled in the hill country of Seir. So God blessed two of them. They were wealthy. They developed based upon the ground was so small to keep them together. Now, the same thing, the descendants of Esau were called Edom, the kingdom, the Edomites. In fact, Esau's kingdom was established what? First. Before Jacob. So all of these things happened. Now, what we want to look at tonight is God, like Adam, Isaac didn't have to do anything in getting his wife. His father Abraham arranged his wedding, and Rebecca was a gift from the father to his son. Isaac's wedding gives some insight into how those who lived prior to the flood and after got married. We can see an insight in there. We do not know for sure, but we can read from there how Isaac's wedding, we can find the common grounds, all right? The continuation of birthright struggle between Ishmael and Isaac in a struggle of the supremacy between Jacob and Esau, we see the same thing. There was a struggle with Hagar and Sarah, Ishmael, and Isaac. We see the same problem today with what? With Jacob and Esau. The struggle, we see it. We see it. Now, here is what I want us to look at. Okay. Though the hand of God was in every detail of Isaac's wedding, by guiding Abraham's servant, Eliezer, to Haran, it was cultural. It was cultural. Adam's descendants will procreate according to God's standard of perfection. But the fall brought about culture. Man trying to live according to his will, which is subject to redemption. Man living his will is subject to what? To redemption. All right. Now, just as Abraham and Sarah were tried, just exactly how they were tried in regard to the promised seed, even so, Isaac and Rebekah were tried too. Satan never wanted the birth of Jesus to be a reality. This is the point that we're making right here. Now, our focus next week will be on Jacob. Now, I can't wait for Jacob. All right, you tell somebody, I can't wait to discuss Jacob next week. Jacob. Hey, Rob.
Yes.
Do you have any concluding remark before I turn it over to those who are with us tonight?
Just a couple more thoughts about the competition between Jacob and Esau.
Right.
You know, look at Western society today. What do we value?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we see a lot of emphasis placed on competition and achieving and these things. So just some thoughts. Is Rebecca taking sides? Is she encouraging them to seek their own will?
Mm-hmm.
Is this wrong? Is she going against her husband's authority? Is she going against the culture of the time? And where's the relevance of this to God? You know, there's a couple of perspectives here. One of the things I was thinking about, it seems they're both focused on wants, but are they really need?
Okay.
You know, do they have to be right at that moment? Most of us can skip a couple of meals and it's not going to bother us.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have the land, have to have all these things. My question is, what is the root of this?
Mm-hmm.
Where is it coming from? Is it an entitlement thing? Is it a lack of faith? You know, trying to look at the root cause helps reveal a lot about the character and what's happening.
Uh-huh.
And are they relying on God's provision, most importantly? So just some additional thoughts to think about.
That's a great thought. Okay. All right. Thank you. Now we want to unmute everyone. Hey, you will be burning up with some questions. Say, I'm going to shoot it first. This is now your time. If your background is not too good, please try to control it. All right, please try to. So that unmute everybody and see somebody who have a comment. Hello, everybody, and thank you. It's time for comments. It's time for questions. If you have a question, please ask. If you want to make a comment, hey, go ahead.
Yes, Dad. How are you?
Hey. Voila, how you doing? I'm glad you're back.
Yeah, I'm doing good.
Okay.
Well, I just have a comment, and I want to say thanks to you and Dr. Rab. And my comment, it comes in when I look at the marriage, like you elaborated on Isaac and Rebecca, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The marriage of Isaac was really unique because his father, you know, had Sarah and then Hagar, but then he had only Rebecca. The Bible only talked about one wife, and then
wife with Isaac.
With Isaac, I mean, I mean, it's so tremendous, you know, and I see that to be very unique. As it relates to Isaac's marriage, he was not a polygamy, or to say he had a concubine, you know. I just give God the glory as you touch that point. Thank you, God.
Thank you. And that's great. I agree with you, Isaac. He was kind of a unique person. Anyway, when we come to our final conclusion, we'll recap the whole thing and see why Isaac stood up that way.
Right.
You know,
right,
there's something
right.
that was a new beginning with him. But
so let's
leave that now.
Yeah, in this series, are you going to target Solomon?
Huh?
Are you going to target Solomon?
When we're finished with the patriarchs, then we come to the kings.
Yeah, that's right. That would be so interesting.
We're finished with the patriarchs because these are the key people.
Okay.
Then we come to the kings because we want to make sure that everybody understands why it is in Scripture before we can get to the New Testament and then come to what we're doing. Okay, anybody else? Okay, thank you. If you have no questions, come by next week. Don't forget, if you want to patron with us, you will see a little button anytime when you go on my website.
Uh-huh.
Become a patron, you can just click right there and it will lead you into the process.
Okay.
Okay, and we say whatever gift we receive from this podcast, it will go straight to our school. The proposed Africa Christian University that we want to launch in Liberia very soon. So if it's a dollar, if it is 25 cents, whatever that the Lord touch anyone, hey, no one is pushed on the wall to give anything. But Amen. If you know that you want to be a blessing to somebody, you're welcome. But when you click there, it will lead you into the whole process, and you know what to do. If you can't make it, don't bother with it. Don't bother with it. Keep listening. Keep coming. All right? We have people out there who got me, you know, keep coming. They'll say, oh, yeah, well, I wanted to go to the meeting, but, you know, don't worry about that. All right, don't worry about that. Okay, thank you, everybody. Thank you for coming tonight, and may God bless you. Tonight, we talk about Isaac. Now, we finished with Isaac. Next week, we are going to talk about who? Jacob. Dr. Waller, please lead us in prayer tonight.
Sure. Most gracious and everlasting Father, we want to thank you tonight for the revelation of Jesus Christ. We thank you for that the liberty. We thank you for that the Rob. We thank you for our sister Priscilla. We just thank you for all the participants tonight. We want to bless your name, O Lord, that you were in Dan, the host of this Bible study. That the liberty with wisdom as he teaches us day by day. We thank you, Lord, that you will provide. We pray for our people who are you going to touch to support, including ourselves in what has been done and to educate us about the biblical principles about marriage, Christian marriage. We thank you, Lord, as we leave, we are not leaving from your presence. We ever before you. We pray for America as a nation. Your word will be propagated throughout the land and its spread. We thank you. We give you the glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Okay. Thank you. God bless you.